that, and then we'll go back to completing a couple of agenda items. Okay. Public comment. This is the opportunity to speak on any issue not on the agenda.
Again,
yeah. Frank Acilio, Ben DeFatta, Lindy Owen, Steve Page, Elaine Watson, Pete Weimer, Steve Schimmick.
No, I think I've already spoken.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
I don't know how
you
many
think,
cards
you think
I
you have.
Yeah,
I know you
have.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Frank Azileo, Los Osos. I'm here to talk about the memorandum for the record by David LaCaro, dated July 23rd, 2010. And I'll start on the last page where he talks about how the Regional Water Board staff is involved in development and conservation effort as well as the wastewater management project, and we continue to push for water use rates and patterns and restoring the hydraulic base, balance in the basin to repel seawater intrusion. Now, in the first page, if that's the goal of this board or staff, he states on the first paragraph for background information, a relatively small quantity of drinking water comes from individual private wells, mostly in the outlying rural areas. Now, he discussed in that report, the May update report, and if you look at that report, it talks about 1,100 acres feet of water being used by private wells. That's a third of the basin. That's not a small amount of water. So you can look at that. He can look at that report and he can get the data from there. He can look at the Cleet Harrison report back in that they did a study of the basin back in July 29th. It also talks about the amount of water pumped by private wells and agriculture wells. Now, I've always been arguing with the county that they underestimate the number of wells in the system, and also with Cleet and Harrison, I've discussed it with them. Back in 2007, I contacted the Public Health Department and requested the number of wells they permitted. They said that in the early 60s, there was very few records until the 70s. So they went ahead and they did their current database and they went in their old database. I then deleted any duplicate record that I could visibly find and temporarily monitor and the temporary monitoring wells. The number I came up with domestic water wells is 350. This includes irrigation, livestock, ag, etc., but not temporary monitoring wells. Now, in the Cleet Harris report 2009, it states that there's about 240 wells. That includes purveyor wells. Well, a lot of wells have disappeared somehow. I've been asking the county to get a clear picture of the amount of wells we have. Not only the wells that are inactive, because they consider those wells not pumping, therefore they're not going to be producing any water, but those wells can, some of those wells can be turned back on. Also, there's property in the East Corridor that can be, wells can be added because they have a right to put a well on their property. So this is data I've been looking for. I've even gone back back into the U.S. Geological Survey in 88, and it gives the same figures that the county's given now. So, and you have that report on your website, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Ben DeFatta. And Mr. DeFatta, but before you begin, he wishes to address us on important actions that we have previously taken in the Los Osos area, so, and we have been sued over these enforcement actions. This is in litigation, so I don't know to what extent.
If the matter that he wishes to speak about is in litigation, I would request that you not allow him to speak about that.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. DeFatta, you can't address the board on the cease and desist orders that have been issued.
Is that right?
Yes. I mean, the water board's been sued by a number of the homeowners.
Oh, I see. Okay.
With the orders, and because it's in litigation, we're not going to be entertaining public comment on that.
Yes, sir.
So, but you can talk to us about anything else outside of
that. I'll talk about my old cars, yes.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. People in the prohibition zone, mainly Baywood Park, received a letter from a department in the Army that some kids found some munitions from World War II. And another big problem is the digging up of 42 miles, maybe 50 miles of streets. We're going to have another hazard coming at us when we start building this project. And the other thing was, did anybody from this board or Mr. Briggs' board ever say we had to get rid of our septic tanks?
No.
All we wanted to get was the nitrates down and get rid of the leach fields. Okay. Anyway, given the economics of the country and the state and the county, and I want you to know that at least a third of the equity of people's property in the prohibition zone is going south. 20% own more than their home is worth. Many foreclosures. And I guess that's about all I could say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe because AGP doesn't film that we wanted to do some of the public comment ourselves.
Is this being recorded?
Yes.
Just a public comment.
The public has a right to record meetings so long as it's not disruptive to the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sadly, AGP is not here doing what should be being done for the public. Okay, good afternoon, Lindy Owen, and I'd like to request that could you try a little bit harder to put public comment at a known time? I had to quit my job and come in here early. It's very difficult if you really want to include the public. You need to make it a little bit more user-friendly. This is almost 2 hours that we've been sitting here, and you skipped the agenda. We were lucky. Otherwise, we would have missed it because you moved your schedule up. So,
Ms. Owen, we had public comment before lunch. This just happened.
What time was lunch? 12:30, 1:30?
Before 12 o'clock, we began public comment. But I just wanted you to know that.
Don't engage me. Okay. I'm asking that you set it at 9 o'clock, perhaps, or at.
We set it consistently for the 10 years.
The sunshine laws would request that you be more active. I'm wasting my time talking about that unless you're giving me credit.
I was.
Okay. I'll speak to what I wanted to speak. I just.
Go ahead.
You want us to take the day off and spend it here waiting for you to get to public comment. So I wanted to talk about the Los Osos Water Basin. In case you aren't aware, we've been trying to come before you for the last 3 years to tell you that we are in crisis. We don't have a nitrate problem in Los Osos. We have a saltwater problem. We have chloride going into our drinking supply 11 times faster than expected. If you're forcing us to go with 8313, which talked about a nitrate problem, well, 1 milligram drinking standard, over drinking standard, is not really a big problem compared to Morro Bay that's 45 milligrams over drinking standards. Would you please consider doing requesting that we do a partial sewering of the low-lying areas? This solves many problems. One, it makes it affordable so we don't lose half of our community right now, and we can get the project done. Number two, it solves the issues with doing the nitrates and getting in the low-lying areas where we know that septic leach fields are not working. And number three, it does something for the salt water. If you take all that leach water out from all the upper areas, we're going to lose all our landscaping. We're going to lose basically any extra water that has currently been taking care of these a million gallons a day, whatever you force to go into collection pipes to be taken off for treatment and never come back. We've lost all our landscape. So this is 100-year-old trees. It's the history of our town. And this could be solved by looking at a partial sewering right now and doing a stage project with a step collection. I do not want to see pipes in a liquefaction zone as serious as ours is. I do not want to see these concrete pipes put in our drinking supply. We will be drinking the upper aquifer in the future. You put the pipes in there, we have an earthquake, we have raw sewage mixed in with our potential drinking supply. This could all be solved if we go back to 8313, reevaluate where we are today, 21 years later, and look at that chloride pollution is far more serious than nitrate pollution. And I'm just requesting that we have some action towards that. This project will be held up for years because of litigation. It's got so many flaws. And there is a solution. I would love to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Steve Page.
Thank you, Steve Page, Prohibition Zone homeowner. The septic tank component condemnation in the Prohibition Zone is a regulatory taking. Homeowners in the PZ have the same rights to on-site waste processing as homeowners outside the Prohibition Zone. The board has no proof of general septic tank failure, only evidence of leach field discharge. Homeowners have the right to deliver treated waste to the collection system and not be taxed the extra $12,000 for primary treatment. Using existing septic tanks has the following public benefits. It almost entirely reduces the impacts from decommissioning the septic tanks. 70% of all the septic tanks in Los Osos were installed after 1972 and are still usable. Using existing septic tanks with a step-stage collection system eliminates $50 million in excessive taxation. In a hybrid collection system, homeowners that keep their septic processing, the collection system would benefit from better solids to liquid ratios when water conservation demands. With these public benefits, a regulatory takings lawsuit would prevail. The county has my guarantee that I will not be overtaxed $12,000 for a regulatory taking on my property. How can you help? And this is my request to the board. I request that you direct staff to request in writing that the County of San Luis Obispo put STEP-STEG back into the design bid build process as promised in the assessment engineer's report for the 218 vote. This action will absolve your board from complicity in the regulatory takings issue that is occurring now. And if you can help homeowners by doing that, it would be a big benefit all the way around. It's a win-win for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Elaine Watson.
Elaine Watson, Los Osos. From the beginning, the Los Osos project has been pretty much a foregone conclusion. We've all heard it so many times before. Septic tanks have to be eliminated because of nitrates. It's been a conclusion in search of evidence, and the evidence has been pretty thin. The DEIR says the project is expected to reduce nitrates by only 1.7 milligrams per liter over the next 30 years in the upper aquifer, where nitrates on average are currently just about drinking water standards. And the project will not improve the beneficial reuse of the aquifer because the water will have to be treated, denitrified, at the wellhead to increase the use of the upper aquifer. The DER does not list benefits to the estuary or wetlands as objectives of the project, and there have been no analyses or studies identifying or quantifying specific project benefits on the estuary. The estuary is reported to be healthy according to recent reports. The shellfish harvesting is back in business. It looks like from all the reports that are coming in that most of the contamination is coming from streams that feed the estuary. That's where the problem lies, not in the estuary itself. The Back Bay, in fact, is showing lower contaminants than does the Tea Pier in Mora Bay. So it's clearly not our septic tanks that are the major problem. In fact, the disposal of treated effluent for the project at the Broderson leach fields will put nitrates back into the groundwater along with emerging contaminants. at the same time that the project will reduce groundwater flows, harming wetlands, and increasing seawater intrusion, absent adequate mitigations. The basin model that was used to determine potential adverse impacts and mitigations for the project has been found to have substantial uncertainties, which one reviewer says, and this is a professional, says should have been stated before to inform the planning process. And another professional strongly recommends building a large margin of safety into the mitigations. However, the CDP does not maximize conservation, agricultural exchange, and urban reuse with as much seawater intrusion mitigation as should be there. So it does not maximize mitigations. Instead, it allows the county to implement weak conservation and reuse plans. It allows the county to defer mitigation by asking for only monitoring and adaptive management plans to be developed in the future. Further, the county has not conducted a review process that has identified the most cost-effective and affordable options. And in fact, the proposed project is the most expensive option available, apparently. We are here to do with you again, asking that you look at this project. You are requiring this project, so we're asking you to look at this project again with an open mind and look at the recommendations that the Los Osos Sustainability Group is going to be submitting to you. There are options available to you. This can be a better project, and a lot of this is in your hands. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Weimer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group. I'm here again to ask that you take immediate action to stop the seawater intrusion degradation of the Los Osos Basin. It is an extremely urgent matter, as confirmed by the documents we're submitting. I just had five copies. I will follow up with a letter with attachments. Several times over the last year, and most recently in May, we asked you to take actions to address seawater intrusion degradation. Mr. Bricks responded last month that your board has not taken action, and he implied that purveyors will deal with the problem, even though water purveyors in Los Osos pump only two-thirds of the water being produced and haven't taken effective action in the last 30 years. A particular concern is the fact you did not request the Coastal Commission to maximize conservation and reuse programs for the project to stop seawater intrusion, as we requested. Mr. Packard was at the hearing to support the project as proposed, and Mr. Briggs sent a letter saying the proposed project was vital to basin sustainability. The fact is, with the project's weak conservation and reuse programs, it will likely do more harm than good. This is supported by the documents we submit. They include a review of the ISJ basin update and the basin model by Gus Yates, a respected hydrogeologist, and a letter from Doug Smith, co-director of the CSU Monterey Watershed Institute. These two experts, along with the Monterey Bay graduate students who did a review of the basin, all support the need to maximize water use efficiency and beneficial reuse with the project to preserve the basin, and they stress the need to take action now. We provide recommended language for a county ordinance to guide an effort to reverse seawater intrusion and language for an amended CDP, including language to maximize conservation and reuse with the project and to include a more affordable project option in the design-build process. We request you support these and other actions that we included on our May letter. These are needed to help ensure that basin sustainability can be achieved feasibly. The community simply cannot afford a $180 million project on top of expensive water supply options like desal. Water and wastewater costs for homeowners could easily go over $500 per month in the next 5 years unless cost-effective water use efficiency measures are implemented now. If the project contributes to the destruction of the basin and turns out to be a waste of money, you will be responsible for one of the largest environmental, social, and economic disasters in the state. Obviously, you have a responsibility to do everything possible to avoid this. Thank you.
Mr. Weimer.
Yes, sir.
You know, it occurred to me, the group that's speaking now, wasn't here before and we got into this issue.
Pardon me?
The group that is that just spoke, and yourself and perhaps Mr. Markinson, didn't have the benefit of hearing our discussion before we started public comment. And we had before lunch. Okay. There were Ms. Gwendolyn Taylor was here and a couple other people. And we didn't really address this, I think, in, was it Watsonville or Salinas where we were at last? We don't have the power to deal with water supply issues and saltwater intrusion except to require a salt management plan be implemented. That has been done with the ISJ process.
It's that has already been...
It's in implementation. They are designing and looking at these issues.
The ISJ process will be your salt management plan?
It'll be incorporated.
It'll be incorporated into it. Okay, but my point is this, folks. We don't have the power to deal with saltwater intrusion the way most of you would like us to have. We don't have it. We really don't have it. Okay, saltwater intrusion is not a new issue in California. It occurs in other locations. The regional water quality control boards have very limited tools to deal with that. I've asked Mr. Briggs to look at what our powers are. Our powers involve a salt management plan to be implemented, not by us, but by others. So your focus.
Can I respond, though?
Yeah, in a second. But in terms of your concern about saltwater intrusion, and we all agree with you, it's an important issue. It is. But
good.
The county, your county and your elected representatives and the ISJ process should be the focus of your requests. We can't order anybody to do anything. We can't tell the county or the Los Osos CSD to mandate lower water usage or put in toilets or things, you know, low-flow toilets and devices.
Well, let me respond.
Okay.
Our letter of May of this year listed a number of things that you did in the Salinas area in the Monterey County. They may not have involved enforcement actions, but they involved a lot of other actions, including setting water quality objectives, water quality control plans, and a watershed management plan for that area. And they included water quality objectives for chlorides. Those things should be set. They should be set as nitrate levels, preferred nitrate levels have been set at historical levels so that we can move towards restoring our basin. You can also bring parties together, as you did there, and to stress the importance of that. You can be involved in education activities, and you could help coordinate the efforts to make this a priority issue with the state Water Resource Control Board and all other agencies involved. This, according to the documents we've looked at, we've seen that seawater intrusion is called a non-point source pollutant. And regardless of whether you have enforcement action over it, there is a good deal of things that you can do and must do, given that you have, that you are putting so much importance on this wastewater project that is going to drain a tremendous amount of money from the community that could be used to develop and establish a sustainable water supply. What we're asking for is that you help in every way that you have at your disposal to make sure that we can create a sustainable basin that is feasible for the community. Otherwise, the environment and the community and everybody, including you, lose on this thing. And we want to have a sustainable basin, presumably, as much as you want to have one. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Markinson?
Richard Markinson. Mr. Young, I understand what you said earlier, but I think as an agency, you have the ability to voice your concerns to the other agencies about this issue. And here's some hard facts. Since the CSD was formed in the late 90s, the CSD-controlled water district, which is about 50% of the consumption, residential consumption in the community, went from pumping 400 million gallons a year down to 250 million gallons this last year. That's almost a 38% reduction in consumption in Los Osos. The Cleith Harris report that was just finished shows that seawater intrusion is moving faster than the report that was done in 2005. We're at a point where the basin may not be able to be saved. And I know the wastewater project is the emphasis, but we're at a point where we need all of the help. We need all of the lobbying efforts. And I believe that this board has the ability to weigh in and voice their concerns to the appropriate agencies that seawater intrusion is a very serious issue. We keep hearing from our supervisor at Coastal Commission at local meetings that they have limited control, but they have put in two water conservation ordinances in the last 3 years. They have no monitoring program to determine whether those conservation ordinances are effective. And one of them actually it's the retrofit to build ordinance, states that their objective is to save 2-to-1 in order to build a new home. 2-to-1, the consumption of a new home. The mitigation factor in the EIR and accompanying documents for water conservation in Los Osos is 0.55. So if you're saving 2-to-1, and your mitigation factor for saltwater intrusion is 0.5, you're at a wash. There's going to be new building in that community if somebody doesn't step up at some point and say, we're going the wrong direction. In the mid-80s, late-80s, 1,100 homes were built in Los Osos. That shouldn't have been, that the county's never had an excuse for. If those 1,100 homes hadn't have been built, I wonder if the nitrate levels would be where they are now, and I wonder if the seawater intrusion condition would be where it is now. That's what we're asking. We understand where you lie in this hole, but you can lobby for us, and I think it's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I just wonder if I wasn't around when the Salinas seawater intrusion issues were looked at more actively, and I wasn't aware that we had a role in it. Maybe Mr. Briggs could briefly comment on what role we played in any action that was taken to resolve the or to develop plans to mitigate for seawater intrusion in the lower Salinas Valley.
Well, we had a pretty very active role in terms of instigating the recycling project, which led to the Castro irrigation project, which solved about 40% of the seawater intrusion problem. That was a direct result of regional board enforcement action as far as getting that going, not actually pointed towards or not actually prompted by seawater intrusion problems. It turned out, though, that through building that system, it was a big part of the solution of seawater intrusion, sort of like a side benefit, if you will. But I think what Mr. Weimer is referring to is having objectives, and I think he's under the impression that all we have to do is have an objective and say, look, it's being violated and the problem will be solved. But look at Salinas Valley with nitrates. We have maximum contaminant level for nitrates, and we've talked a lot regard to the ag order about all of the groundwater problems with nitrates. So the answer is not setting the objective. It's then what we can do as a regulatory agency to affect change with the sources, and that's why Chair Young was talking about how we deal with dischargers and sources. So that's what we're doing as far as the nitrate problem. Just setting an objective in Los Osos is not going to solve the problem. Everybody knows saltwater intrusion is bad. We don't need an objective to say, look, you're exceeding a chloride level. That's a problem. We already know it's a problem. And so this morning I described what we've done as far as providing the interim steps that the ISJ group have been working on, the basin management plan, which is supposed to be out in December, the draft plan, and then the longer-term salt and nutrient management plan, which, again, Mr. Young has mentioned.
So in looking at the Salinas situation, the way that played out, I didn't hear in that answer what triggered the original action. You said it was related to some enforcement actions. But I would just like to know, and maybe this is something we could take more time.
I don't know what enforcement actions you're referring to.
I thought you just said
I was talking about a prohibition zone in Monterey Bay, which prohibited the discharges to southern Monterey Bay, which begat the regional system, which begat the recycle project, which begat the replacement of groundwater extraction and helped solve the seawater intrusion problem. It's kind of a tortured chain. And like I said, it was really a side benefit of the regional board taking enforcement action for a different problem.
Okay. So, well, I hope we consider if there's any similarities in the Salinas experience, because I think that's one area where we can look to see that some very good action has occurred. It's taken quite a long time. But if there's any other options we have to take a more active role, and we've got precedent established through the Salinas project, that would be important to understand. So I would encourage you to go back and maybe look at that process and see if there aren't any similarities that we could hook into. It's really frustrating to hear, and I appreciate Chair Young's efforts because he has really put forward a set of questions to staff to determine and review and look at the most current options we have. And I understand and accept the response is that we have very few tools. But at the same time, the situation is going forward. Agencies are perhaps working at cross purposes here, solving the nitrate problem, and while the seawater intrusion problem is apparently from the reports a more urgent problem and yet seems to be back burner and will only be dealt with in the back end of whatever gets constructed. And that just seems to be something the community is having a hard time standing by and watching. And I appreciate the effort of folks who come forward. And here, our response is we really have very little we can do actively. But I would appreciate knowing that, if there's any way we can advocate, and I know Chair Young has expressed his support for that, so I hope that we can continue our exploration.
Well, and these complaints about back room, not open to the public, nothing's happening, that's exactly why we issued that memo, the Dave Vaccaro's memo that was referred to earlier, to lay out to the public what the interim steps are that are going on, to tell the public things are happening with all the water purveyors and with the county, as well as the longer-term plan. So that was a step we certainly didn't have to take. We tried to do that because of these complaints. But as Chair Young said, we can't require certain levels of conservation. I wish we could.
Right.
We can't throttle back on a water supplier's pumping rate. If I went to Mr. Hodgen and his water district and said, you got to throttle back on your water supply, it may not fly very well.
Right.
So I wish we did have more authority in that regard. And there have been proposals to change the legislation. The legislative analyst report in the most recent version talks about revamping California's groundwater laws.
Right.
Because they recognize that problem too.
Let me just ask one more quick question, I hope. Refresh my memory. I know that efforts have been made to communicate. The community has made efforts to communicate to State Board, which does have authority over water supply. And have we participated in that? Have we advocated for State Board to take that up? Or is there anything we can do to ask for State Board to take that issue up and take a look at that ISJ process and make sure that it actually is structured in a way that's going to consider unintended consequences of contributing to advancing seawater intrusion, which is my understanding what the bottom line concern is in the community.
Mm-hmm. I don't recall communications recently with the State Board about the ISJ process in particular. We certainly talked over the years with the State Board about seawater intrusion problems throughout the region, including in Los Osos, Salinas, Pajaro. Harvey, are you aware of any ISJ discussions with the State Board? No. So that's something we could follow up on.
I would really like to see that happen, and especially in light of the fact that the basin has been further delineated. There's very current information on the rate of seawater intrusion and the potential for reaching a critical point in the basin in terms of long-term sustainability. And if we can take those issues to the State Board and signal our concern, I think that would be an important step.
You know, something else that we could do again, and I the county does have a role in this,
right?
Because it's going to build. Yeah, I mean, they're going to build the plant.
Well, they're also in the ISJ.
In the ISJ.
They weren't designated to be in the ISJ. Right. They inserted themselves into it because they felt they had a role.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think we've asked Pavro before how the design of the plant was going to anticipate, balancing water usage in the basin.
Did he get back to us on that?
No, he did. I think he said that they were anticipating some kind of a staged process, that they first want to get the plant built.
And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, and then, isn't that what he said? And that down the line, they were going to factor in what to do next. Yeah.
I think the frustration is that the cost and the cost of the construction of that plant is enormous, and to try then to determine if something can be done after the plant is constructed and put into operation to find out that things could have been designed better, that's the concern. And I realize it's down, the train has left the station, I understand that, but what concerns me and what I'm hearing in these comments is that the ISJ process, which has no public access, in which the county is representing the interests of the community, and I don't know this to be true, I'm only repeating what we've heard in public comment, and that is the county is using data that may not be as current as it needs to be. If well data is being used that is not as informative as it needs to be, and they're using very conservative numbers, and if that's the process, we have ways of reviewing that and assuring that they're using the best data that's available. And there's been a lot of effort in delineating that groundwater basin that's come into play, and I know that the report is coming out in December, but I think those are the issues that I'm hearing coming forward through public comment.
Okay. No more speaker cards for public comment. We can move ahead with items
21.